This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Right before we came on the air, John Heyman tweeted out that Trevor Bauer has made a decision that he was going to sign with the Los Angeles Dodgers. It had been reported by Bob Nightingale, who covers baseball for USA Today, that it was the Mets. But I will tell Met fans this. There's two things to feel great about. You got yourself an owner in Steve Cohen that doesn't give a damn about the luxury tax threshold. He was willing to blow right through it and pay this guy $40 million a year. Number two, you're probably better off. I know you dream big, I know you wanted Bauer, but with his social media antagonistic tendencies and the uncertainty whether this guy is a long-term great pitcher, I think you might have dodged a bullet.
The Michael K. Show.
And I can't wait, Dodger fans.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Super Bowl 55. It's amazing. We have not talked nearly as much about the game as you would think with the Trevor Bauer signing and the last couple of days where he was going to sign, so he ends up with the Dodgers. But it's still an outstanding, potentially an outstanding game with a lot of intriguing things going on. And we bring in our good buddy, and you know him from the morning show, on from 5 to 8. They call it DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. They're on from 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday. It's a must listen in the morning to start your day. And Chris Canty joins us now. Chris, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you guys?
We're doing well. We mentioned before the break that this is the anniversary of your Super Bowl victory with the Giants. And I'm just wondering, Chris, is there a day that has gone by since that night that you have not thought about it or been talked about? People ask you about it.
Well, no, people ask me about it all the time. I mean, we have callers that call into our show and they say, thank you for the Super Bowl. That's the first thing that comes out of their mouth. So I'm reminded of it more often by other people rather than me just thinking about it. But it's funny that you brought that up because I didn't realize it was the anniversary of when we won Super Bowl 46 today. I had to be reminded by that by our very own RJ Santillo after our show this morning when he texted me. So it's still surreal. I mean, it's the most incredible feeling that you could ever have. It's amazing. I can't put it into words. I can't describe it. I know a lot of guys that have families talk about it being on the same level of adulation as it's like when you're having a child.
Right.
So I mean, it's just it's unbelievable.
Now, Chris, you were not on the 07 team that beat the Patriots that first time, but there were guys that played on both. So as you're preparing for Tom Brady, is there that air of, we can do this because there are so many guys in this room that were able to crack the Brady code just 4 years earlier?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they had the secret sauce for how to affect Tom Brady, and it was being able to get after the quarterback with a four-man rush. Now, the beauty of what Spags did in 07 and what Perry did in 2011 was the ability to disguise it and to bring, you know, guys from the secondary with simulated pressures and being able to drop defensive linemen in coverage. So you had to kind of change up the looks and where the pressure was coming from, but you had to make sure that you maintain the integrity of the coverage, which is having seven guys on the back end of your defense playing the pass. So, you know, it's just one of those things. You got to realize that rush and coverage work together, especially when you start talking about the greatest quarterback of all time. You got to be able to get pressure on him. You got to win your one-on-one matchups, and that's what we were able to do.
All right, so he's older than he was when they beat him in 07 and in your year as well, but does Spags pretty much employ the same sort of strategy on Sunday against him with the Bucs?
Yeah, I think he has to. When it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though, the thing that Spags has to make sure that he emphasizes to that front seven is that they got to stop the run, because Tampa Bay is going to check their oil in that regard. You know, before their bye week in week 13, they were averaging around 22 rush attempts per game. But after that bye week, they've averaged 25 rush attempts per game. Now, 25 is around league average, it's middle of the pack. But that uptick in rushing attempts creates the opportunities for chunk plays and play action with Tom Brady. Now, play action is not as effective if you can't run the football. So I think that's where Spags has to start with trying to slow down this Buccaneers offense being able to try to make them one-dimensional and taking that threat, that element of the run, away from Tom Brady.
Now, from a Tampa defense perspective, what worries you more, Mahomes to Hill or Mahomes to Kelsey?
It's pick your poison. I guess what you're trying to do is eliminate the big plays, because that's something that Tampa struggled with in the Week 12 matchup between those two teams. That defense allowed a lot of big plays to Tyreek Hill in the first half. And one of the reasons why, Don, is because Todd Bowles majored in a lot of single high coverages. So you're talking about man free cover one, and you're talking about cover three, which is zone, but on the outside of your defense with vertical routes, that's man-to-man coverage. And Tyreek Hill just torched that Buccaneers secondary. Now, they didn't have Jamel Dean, their fastest player in the secondary. He should be back in this game at corner, so that should help. But I think Todd Bowles has also got to slow down on the cover one and the cover three, the single high coverages. You got to have more two-shell coverages, because those guys, the skill position players of the Kansas City Chiefs, they're a handful.
Now, the defensive line for the Bucs, very, very good. Do you think they could get pressure on him without blitzing?
Well, if this game is going to be won, it's going to be won for the Buccaneers with their defensive line. Like, this defensive line has to impact the game. They've got to be able to get to Mahomes. And we've talked about it the entire week leading up to the game about the deficiencies along the Chiefs' offensive lines being down both starting tackles. So JPP and Shaq Barrett, they've got to find a way to get after Mahomes early and often. You saw it in that NFC Championship game, the way they rushed Aaron Rodgers. There were some decisions, some plays that Aaron Rodgers made, and you kind of second-guessing why he made those decisions. And I think a big reason why was the pressure that they were able to apply on him. So, to me, in this instance, if you're going to slow down this Chiefs offense, it's going to have to be with those defensive linemen being able to get pressure on Mahomes.
How good do you feel for JPP?
Oh, man, I'm excited for him. Don, I really am, because after the accident happened with the fireworks a few years ago, you know, people were questioning whether or not you even see JPP play, you know, at a Pro Bowl level in the National Football League ever again. And the fact that he's had this resurgence, that he is the only Pro Bowler for the Buccaneers on the defensive side of the ball, and just what he's been able to do in terms of, you know, being a weapon for Todd Bowles, I'm happy for him, man. I really am. I mean, and once you have that feeling of winning a championship, all you want to do is get back to that game and compete for more titles. And so I'm ecstatic for my former teammate that he's going to have a chance to do that this Sunday.
We're talking with our teammate Chris Canty. You can hear him along with Rick DiPietro and Dave Rothenberg from 5 to 8 every Monday through Friday right here on 98.7, our morning show. We're so proud of it, and you should be listening all the time. Now, an interesting column today in the New York Post by Mike Vaccaro, and it got me to thinking. So everybody calls Brady the GOAT. Now, Brady's obviously the most accomplished quarterback, because he has 6 Super Bowl titles. Nobody else has 5. The next closest is 4. But is he the greatest of all time? Because when I look at great quarterbacks, I'm looking at skill sets. Like, I think Dan Marino was a phenomenal quarterback, probably much more physically talented than Tom Brady. Do you look at it that way, or do you just say Brady's the best of all time because he's the biggest winner?
I think he's the best of all time because he's the biggest winner, Mike. And to take it a step further, I believe that greatness is defined by being at your best when your best is required. And you can't say that about anybody else in the National Football League, in the history of our league, more so than Tom Brady. I mean, the fact that he's been able to win 33 playoff games, and you're talking about him appearing in his 10th Super Bowl, I mean, it's unprecedented success, and I don't think we'll ever see it again. So, I mean, the fact that he's been able to have the kind of longevity that he's had his 21st season and been able to be at this stage essentially every other year, I mean, you can't take it away from him. Now, he might not have the attributes that other players have, like the arm talent, the athleticism, but the production is there. And to me, that's the thing that matters the most.
But that arm strength is underrated, right? It's not John Elway, but that arm is stronger than people have really given it credit for or is talked about, right?
Oh, yeah, Don, he can make all the throws still. At 43 years old, he can make any throw that you want on the football field. I was just doing a little research before I jumped on with you guys. And since week 14, no quarterback is averaging more yards per attempt on play action than Tom Brady. I mean, he can still push the ball down the field. So, I mean, it's not like he's not capable of doing it. It's just, you know, we don't talk about it because it's not as flashy, or he's not as flashy a player. He doesn't have the splash plays like a Pat Mahomes or like an Aaron Rodgers.
Now, it's interesting. Don said something yesterday that got me to thinking. He wants Tampa Bay to win on Sunday because he likes the fact that of the losses that Brady's had in the Super Bowl, two of them have been to the Giants. And he likes the exclusive club of that nature, the Giants, and the other one to the Eagles. Do you feel that way as well, being one of the teams that did beat Brady?
Absolutely, absolutely. Don is hitting the nail on the head. I mean, every Super Bowl that Tom Brady won since 2011 makes my Super Bowl ring glimmer just a little bit more. So my heart is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. I mean, especially for my teammate JPP, but also with Todd Bowles and Casey Rogers, who's on the defensive side of the ball on that staff for Bruce Arians. I was with both of them when I was down in Dallas with Bill Parcells. So I'll be rooting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend.
So it's like a bizarro adjacent version of the 72 Dolphins cracking the champagne.
Right.
Exactly. Something like that. You got it, Peter.
Now, who are you picking, though? I know where your heart lies, but how are you breaking this game down? Who are you picking?
As much as I want the Bucs to win, I just think the Chiefs are too much on the offensive side of the ball. There really are no good answers when it comes to defending that offense and what Pat Mahomes can do. We saw it last year. I mean, you're talking about a team that was down double digits in every single playoff game and found a way to walk the opposing team down. Now, I don't think the game on Sunday is going to look like those games because there'll be a heightened sense of urgency because of the other quarterback on the opposing sideline. But I just look at this Chiefs team as being too much, and I just don't see how you're going to be able to slow that offense down. You can hold them down for a time, but they can score bunches of points in a hurry, and I don't see the Bucs being able to get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, we hope you enjoy the game. We hope you stay safe. Don't have a big party, Chris, and good luck in the morning as well. 5 to 8, you'll be the first one on the station to talk about the Super Bowl on Monday at 5 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm fired up about the game. I don't think the NFL could have got a better matchup in Super Bowl 55, so I'm really looking forward to it. I hope you guys enjoy the game as well.
Yeah, you too. Love you, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, speaking of the quarterback matchup, Joe Namath was on with Chris and Dave today. Rick was off. But the great Namath said he has never seen a player like Patrick Mahomes. Listen to this.
Well, I agree. He is something that we've not seen anything like before. We've seen guys that can run speed even quicker foot quarterbacks, but and elusive quarterbacks going all the way back to Fran Tarkenton. You got to give credit, I mean, not only to Mahomes, but you got to give credit to these coaches today throughout the leagues, professional leagues, especially football, the way the game has evolved, man. The way they use motion on offense, for example. You got guys not jogging across the field, changing formations. Heck, they're sprinting. These coaches are so much more informed, so much ahead of our coaches of yesteryear, even though we had great coaches of yesteryear. Our coaches today have learned from them.
Now let's hear Joe about Tom Brady and why Tom Brady's been able to play this long.
Tom was never that as quick a foot as some people would prefer, but he lived without it, and he's excelled without that foot quickness and moving around. He certainly can adjust in the pocket well enough. The athletes today are better than ever, bigger, stronger, faster. You know, it's a year-round training for the guys. That's what can be done. You take care of yourself and stay lucky. The ankles, the knees, the back, the neck, the head, there's so many ways. The wrists, the elbows, the arms, the shoulders, the injuries. Lady Luck is, Tom's been remarkably fortunate, and when he has been injured, it hasn't been the kind that are career-ending for sure.
You know, I like Joe, I mean, we like Joe for many reasons, but Joe's not one of those old-time players that thinks it was better when he played.
Right.
He gets it. I mean, the training methods, these guys are faster. They're in better shape. They eat better food. They're just better. Well, I think they're better across all sports. They just are.
You know what I found out about Joe when he was a weekly and getting to know him? Is that he's a true fan of the sport. I think a lot of the elder statesmen of this league just kind of fall out of love with the modern game and don't watch it as intently. If you follow him on Twitter, he's watching every Alabama game. He's watching every Jet game. He's watching around the league. You could throw anything at him, he knows. And if you pay attention, the game's, I mean, whether it's better from the nostalgia standpoint and all that, but from an athletic standpoint, the speed standpoint, it's a different game. It just is.
Let's I'm curious what Joe said about this. Joe spoke about Darnold on DCR tonight, this morning as well. And he was asked by the guys, can Darnold be a successful NFL quarterback?
That still remains to be seen for Sam. I think school's still out on that kind of judgment. He hasn't displayed a consistency of accuracy. As far as moving around with the ball, he's gifted it in some sense. But quarterbacks that run a lot, they don't last too long for the most part. You need a team. You got to have a team, too. You got to have some consistency with the offense and defense. And the Jets have been not only playing poorly, but they've had some bad luck with the injuries.
So he didn't go out on a limb and say, he's definitely going to be good.
No, and we know he likes Sam, too.
Well, here's the thing, and usually I mean this as a criticism, but it's not. He was kind of all over the place with his answer because I think that's the only thing you can say. Because what do you pin it on? Like, because everything he said is true. We haven't seen it yet, yes. We haven't seen it on a consistent basis. And then he kind of transferred over to the team and the injuries and the quality weapons and all that because all that's the answer. It's like a big soup of unknown. Like, you throw all the ingredients in, but there's still no flavor because there's so much going on. You just need more time. But the problem with the Jets is they really only have the one more year, right, before they end up having to pay him $25 million. And I'm not really sure they're going to have the team next year that's going to be able to really be any different than the previous 3 years to give a definitive answer.
And finally, here's Joe on Deshaun Watson.
I'm a fan. I've seen these guys from college, and I think they're great players, but people know more about the game than I do as far as the personnel and who they can get and who they should get and how they play. I don't look at the videos, so I just don't know. Watson, he looks sensational, and I use that word, sensational, further along than most of the quarterbacks, including Sam, no doubt about it. But those guys are going to make the decision in that office up there, and I hope they make the right decision. And like I say, I want to see us win. I want to see us start being happy after the game, man, and happy during the game.
All right, coming up, a very special treat on Super Bowl Friday Eve.
Okay.
How's that sound? Yeah. Don has a list.
That's right, top five.
Yeah.
Daily Don is back. Super Bowl edition.
It's about the Super Bowl. And then later on, we're going to have Last Human Being Standing.
Now, and wait till I explain that it's not a regular Last One Standing. It's a totally different format, never played before.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, baby.
All right, so the Daily Don coming up in just a moment. The not-so-Daily Don, we could call it. The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Daily Don, Super Bowl edition, coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.